together.
Listen to our first scripture reading. Then God said, "Let us make humankind in our own image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and it was so. God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all their multitude. And on the seventh day, God finished the work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it, because on it God rested from all the work that he had done in creation. In this first creation story of the Bible, God's work is to create the world and all living creatures in it. God speaks and things come into being, the cosmos, the world, and all that is in it. At the end of each day, God looks at what has been created and calls it good. Sort of like saying, "That's right." At the end of the sixth day, our reading for today, humans were created in the image of God and given the task of care for creation. God looks at everything God has made after humans are there and calls it very good, as if to say, "All of that is what I intended to create." God's way of creating throughout it all is to speak. Now, it may not seem like much to us, much work to us to talk or to speak, unless you're an infant, perhaps. But we know that God worked at the task of creating because the story ends with these words. On the seventh day, God finished the work he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all of the work he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it, because on it God rested from all the work he had done in creation. The creation story isn't complete until God rests. That is the rhythm for all of creation: work and rest. It's as if the scripture asks us, how do you and I see ourselves as part of God's work, put here by God to work on caring for God's creation? What is a project you have done that when you were finished, you felt the goodness of creation, of creating it, of its very creation in front of you? And when was the last time you felt like you truly rested from your labors and took a Sabbath day? Our second scripture reading goes like this. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created. In the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, when no plant of the field was yet in the earth and no herb of the field had yet sprung up, for the Lord had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was no one to till the ground. But a stream would rise from the earth and water the whole face of the ground. Then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. The man became a living being. And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden, in the east. And there he put the man whom he had formed. Out of the ground the Lord God made to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to till it and keep it. This is actually a second creation story in the Bible. It follows the first, and its purpose is to give us another view of God as creator. God doesn't speak creation into being here. God molds it and sculpts it with his hands. God takes some dust from the ground and mixes it with water and forms a man. The story doesn't say it, but I wonder if God made many forms like an artist might before God finally formed the creature that looked like what God had in mind to create. With hands caked in mud, maybe God sat back and looked at the creation and said, "It's time to finish this work." That's when God breathed the breath of life into the nostrils of the man and put the man in the garden to take care of creation that God had made. It's the story that asks us, what sort of things do we create with our own hands, literally or symbolically in the work that we do? How does our work breathe life into the world? How does our work add to and take care of the creation God has made? Our third scripture reading comes from Psalm 92. I'm adding a few verses to what you have in your bulletin. Starting in verse 1, it says, "It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your steadfast love in the morning and your faithfulness by night, to the music of the lute and the harp, to the melody of the lyre. For you, O Lord, have made me glad by your work. At the works of your hands, I sing for joy. How great are your works, O Lord." In the psalm, the writer celebrates all the ways God has worked for those who seek a right relationship with God. The righteous are people who know that God is at work in their lives. They experience God's steadfast love in the morning, says the writer, not as a good idea, but as something as sure as the rising sun in the morning. They go to sleep at night, trusting in God's faithfulness, that in life and in death, they belong to God. They know that God is always at work. It's a psalm that asks us, what work do we sense God doing in and around us? What do we celebrate about God's work in our lives? Grace, hope, love, forgiveness, joy, reconciliation? If someone were to ask us what God has done or is doing in our lives right now, how would we answer them? What would we say? What do we sing and celebrate and give thanks for in the work we see God doing in and through us? Our fourth reading in Proverbs says this: "Go to the ant, you lazy bones. Consider its ways and be wise. Without having any chief or officer or ruler, it prepares its food in summer and gathers its sustenance in harvest. How long will you lie there, O lazy bones? When will you rise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber, and want like an armed warrior." If anyone thinks faith in God is about sitting around, come to church and we'll cure you of that pretty quickly. The Bible teaches us that the goodness of work. It's the difference between the ant and the lazy bones. One sees work as an integral part of who they are, and in that work they are doing what God created them to be and to do so that they might survive times without food. God created us to work so that we would be a part of something bigger than ourselves as well. One ant doesn't survive very long on its own. One ant that gathers and works for the colony lives well and long. I think that is what made the Amish and the Mennonite people of Lancaster County so interesting to me. They understand work is not only a means of survival, but it's a gift from God and what God made them to do for the good of the larger community. In their own work, they are living and expressing their faith. The scripture asks us, which are you? The ant or the lazy bones? How do you live your faith in the work that you do? How is your work an expression of who God created you to be? How does your work participate in something larger than yourself so that you in the community or you in the town or you in the church can thrive together? Paul's words in our final scripture passage say this: "Therefore, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed me, not only in my presence, but much more now in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, enabling you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and arguing, so that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, in which you shine like stars in the world. It is by your holding fast to the word of life that I can boast on the day of Christ that I did not run in vain or labor in vain." The Apostle Paul is writing to the new church of Christians in the city of Philippi. He wants the Christians there not to be dependent on him, as if they can't be people of faith unless he's there to teach them and to guide them. He wants them to grow up. He wants them to work out their salvation in Jesus Christ themselves. Own your faith, he might say. Figure out what Christ has done and what it means for you and for me. Because when you do figure it out, you'll realize that God is at work in you, enabling you both to will and to work for God's good pleasure. By God's grace and Spirit, you and I have the ability to live our faith in Christ in all aspects of our lives so that our life and our work are pleasing to God. Working on our faith defines us as God's children so that we shine like stars wherever we do work. If the work we do on our faith makes us strong and vibrant witnesses to the good news of life in Jesus Christ, then Paul himself will not have to work in that church there, will not have worked in that church there in vain, nor any other pastor with their flock. So it leaves us with this. How are we working on our faith so that we own our salvation and grow in the grace and love of Jesus Christ? How are we working on becoming pleasing to God in the work we do? And how do we experience the pleasure of God in that work? As the summer winds down and vacations come to an end, how do these passages help us better understand what it means to get back to work? Whether we're going back to school, returning to the office, starting a new job, looking for a new one, getting back into our regular routine of life, cooking, cleaning, maintaining our homes, do we view our work as mere drudgery, a means to an end, a way to fill time? Or do we see it as a gift from our Creator? A way to live out our purpose in this world and be a part of something bigger than ourselves. God has created us to work with God and to know God's pleasure in what we do. We become the people God intends us to be, people who shine like stars as we work with God in this world God loves so much. May you know that work that God does in you, and may it enable you to know God's good pleasure as you work beyond Labor Day. Amen.